By listening to the Conscious Fertility Podcast, you agree to not use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician or healthcare provider for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Welcome to Conscious Fertility, the show that listens to all of your fertility questions so that you can move from fear and suffering to peace of mind and joy. My name is Lauren Brown. I'm a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm on a mission to explore all the paths to peak fertility and joyful living. It's time to learn how to be and receive so that you can create life on purpose. I want to welcome Michelle Orovitz to the Conscious Fertility Podcast today. She is a fellow of the Acupuncture and TC and Board of Reproductive Medicine and is the founder of the Wholesome Lotus Clinic and also host of the Wholesome Fertility Podcast. Interesting, her path to holistic healing began with her own career as an architect. And inspired by her own transformation through Chinese medicine acupuncture, she now empowers women on their fertility journeys, and she combines her unique background and deep expertise in traditional Chinese medicine. She's also the author of The Way of Fertility, How to Awaken Your Reproductive Potential Through the Power of Ancient Wisdom. And Michelle and I actually know each other through the ABRM. We see each other on our private chat group and connected, but this is the first time we're kind of meeting face-to-face over Zoom. So Michelle, nice to see you and welcome to the Conscious Fertility Podcast.
It's so nice to meet you too, Lauren, and thank you so much for having me today.
You know, you've written a book, you have a coaching program, you got a, it looks like an amazing clinic. I would love to kind of hear your story. Like, how did you go from architect to Chinese medicine? What was your journey? And particularly, why fertility? I'm assuming your journey might have something to do with reproductive health then.
Yes. So I started out as a patient, and really from the time I was 17, well, 13, I got my period, but 17, I went to the gynecologist because my periods were irregular. I would have like 3 months in between periods and I knew something was off. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe the first year it's kind of normal. Second year, third year, I'm like, okay, something's off. So I remember my mom making an appointment and thinking to myself, like, perfect. I'm going to go to the doctor. He's going to give me a solution and it's easy to fix this. So I go there and he gives me the birth control pill. And I was like, wait, what? I never knew that the birth control pill was used for anything other than birth control. And he said, well, this is going to get your period regular. I said, well, what happens when I get off? And he said, it's going to go back to being irregular. And I was like, well, how does that make sense? Like, is there anything that I can do to like change this? Like other than doing this? And the answer was no. And basically I went on and off the birth control pill for years, same thing from many doctors, same solution. And at age 25, I think that was the time that I was off. I traveled for three months and I was like, I backpacked in Europe and went to Cuba. It was like a nice little trip. And then I had kind of taken a break from work because I moved from the West Coast to the East Coast with architecture. The whole time I was away, I didn't get my period and I wasn't on the pill. I came home and I told my mom, listen, I got to do something different. There's got to be something, because I was 25 at that point. And I think there was something about maybe my own internal biological clock, my intuition saying like something has to change. Like this isn't normal. So she had happened to find out about a really great acupuncturist. His name was Dr. Lee. He worked in Queens, New York. So we went to his house. He actually worked out of his basement. So he had two tables there. I walked in and I was so intrigued. You know, you go in, the first time I ever smelled like Chinese herbs. I've had an experience before where I just went once to a clinic school in San Francisco, but this was my first time really like going consistently. And he asked me so many questions and all the details about my life, even my dreams, how I slept. And I was so fascinated because I've never experienced anything like it where somebody actually wanted to know so much about me. And what's interesting, Lauren, is like, the actual act of talking, I feel like, is the beginning of the healing. When you're able to speak and express yourself. And he was explaining to me how important the menstrual cycle was for a woman and how much it makes a difference. And I went to him, he gave me like raw herbs, told me not to cook it in aluminum, you know, make sure it's like stainless steel or ceramic. So I was so intrigued. I was so fascinated. It was like something within me awoke. He completely regulated my period and I was blown away. But it didn't just end there. I also felt like I slept better. I felt like things would roll off my back. I didn't feel as stressed out at work. And it was just like things just flowed in my life. And I was like, this is so cool.
You have flow and receptivity. And in our episode, one we had with Randine Lewis, who we both know.
I actually just listened to it and it was great.
So she talks about flow and receptivity, because when you don't have flow and receptivity, in the West, we call it stress. And in our medicine, we call it chi stagnation. In spiritual work, I often call it resistance. Pain or disease manifests. So yeah, you had the flow because you were healthy. You were healthy on a mental, physical level. And it's neat because, you know, when you said you regulated, your cycle got regulated, we often forget that when you use the birth control pill and you have a period, you're not having a regular cycle because you're not having an ovulatory cycle. So the bleeding is just so you feel good. And I think when I've talked to experts in the field, the bleed, they could have made it and want to make it that there was no bleed, right? Just, but I think back in the day, the church didn't like that. You need to have a bleed. So that was the only reason there was the bleed in the cycle, to make it look like you're having a cycle, but you're not. You're not actually having a ovulatory cycle. So when Dr. Lee worked with you, you started having ovulatory cycles, which is what you do for other women now. You help them have ovulatory cycles.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I feel like that has become an acceptable fake out. You know, the bleed, the fake bleed.
Yeah. If you're having a bleed.
The birth control.
We had Geralyn Pryor on our podcast, and she's done a lot of research with progesterone. And in her research through using progesterone in perimenopause and menopause, they're monitoring the women. And she's has noticed without birth control pill that on average, 2 or 3 cycles in a year are not ovulatory, even with bleeds.
That's a natural fake out, I guess, you know, that people don't realize that. Yeah.
And I love the fact that you said just being heard, how that you found to be healing. A local psychologist here does a lot of attachment theory, says every human being wants the same thing, to be seen and heard, which equals feeling loved. So as soon as you get in, you get to tell your story. Like you said, there's already a healing process happening because somebody's listening to you, if they're intelligent listening. And also, as you know, as a Chinese medicine practitioner, we want to know what's going on because everything impacts everything. And so we do want to know what your sleep's like or your diet's like or your stress level's like. And that's kind of where I'd love to hear you talk more about your style of practice and how much importance do you put on like the mind body. Are you into the spiritual side of Chinese medicine or is it more physical? Can you tell us a little bit about, like, if somebody's come in to see you, what are you interested in and what do you think you bring to the treatment and to the profession? Because everybody kind of has their style. And I'm curious what you mean by woke up something inside you. What does that mean from the Chinese medicine perspective in your experience and how intuition plays into this? And how does spirituality for you play in this or the emotional aspect of this?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think that we all have this innate intelligence within us. And I remember one of my favorite teachers actually in Chinese medicine, you know, when I was learning it, he always said, first things first. He was doing like, you know, classic Chinese medicine where he was starting to talk about like the organs and everything. He said, first things first. And he used to practice Qigong. He goes, you work on your qi. He said, whether you meditate or whatever it is that you do, you have to work on your qi as a practitioner. Otherwise, you can't practice as well, as effectively. And I thought that was so interesting because it's kind of like, okay, so I'm taking the source and I'm helping with that source, connecting to the source, and I'm helping others. And so I agree with you on I love nerding out on the science aspect of it. And I'm a big, huge fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. I go to his retreats. I listen to the researchers. The stuff that's coming out is mind-blowing and it's measurable. So it's fascinating because I think that right now we're living in a time where we're actually finding that a lot of the things that we have learned about for thousands of years are actually being revealed and explained in a different way. And heart math pretty much explains to us how the heart and the brain do have a very important relationship. And that coherence is really the connection that you're making with your patients as well. So for me, that is really important to have that synergistic flow, because I don't know about you, and I'm sure that you probably can relate to this, but unless you have that synergy with the patient that you're working with, you're not going to be as effective. So sometimes it happens where you're not really speaking the same language and you're not really able to, or there's a resistance coming from the person that is coming to you. You know, there's a resistance, kind of a distrust And it's not you, it's not personal, but it's just a distrust in general, whether they've gone through a lot and they're just in a very distrusting state, questioning everything. So sometimes while that can be, you know, just everybody has their own personal journey, it can definitely impact your ability as a practitioner to flow through. So the first thing I do usually is I listen. I just listen to the person. I allow them to just tell me everything from A to Z, like, and I ask them all kinds of questions because I remember how, well, first of all, it's data for me, but it's also really nice for them to just express themselves, even if it's things outside of like the normal TCM questions, just relationships, which I think is all of an impact, even your job, like your job satisfaction, which I think that impacts your chi. So that's one of the first things, and really make that connection and understand their language. So one of the things that I studied was NLP and hypnosis. So one of the things that we look at is predicates and how a person speaks their own language. Everybody has their own language. Even though we're all speaking English, we have different languages. Some people are more visual. Some people are more spiritual. Some people like numbers and data. So depending on where the person's at, that is where I meet them. So I will speak to them in their language. And I feel like that is how I'll communicate. I'll be very data focused if it's a person that really connects with numbers. And I will be very spiritual if it's a person that connects that way. I am spiritual. So I'm going to kind of say it that way. That means I believe that there's a higher power of intelligence that we tap into. I've seen it in my life. I've had my own proof. So I know that it exists. But I also, one of the questions I ask people is, do they have a spiritual practice? And if they don't, is there something that you do for self-care? Is there something that brings you joy? Do you still do those things while you're on this fertility journey? Because I think that those aspects of our life are very important. So yes, we can treat them. We can do acupuncture. We can do herbs. We can teach them about diet and supplements. However, they're coming to us like once, maybe twice a week. What are they doing outside of that to feed their soul? You know, those are things that are really important.
Now, we got to play some samesies here. As you're talking, I'm liking you more and more, Michelle. I wasn't aware about your NLP or hypnosis background because I got into, from accounting to this, my first dip into the healing world was I did the NLP and the NLP master and Ericksonian hypnosis. Then I became Chinese medicine doctor. Then I went and trained as a clinical hypnotherapist as well. And I've been to 3 of Joe Dispenza's week-long.
Oh, you have? Yeah. That's so cool. So we're like family. To me, family. That's family because that takes you to a whole other level of like consciousness. Yeah.
And I often recommend his book. So for our listeners, he has several books. I like Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself is an excellent book.
Yeah.
They're all interesting, but Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, I think, is a great one. If people feel like stuck, like they know they're running these old programs, maybe they're sabotaging themselves and they just want to get out of themselves, or they want new software for the hardware.
Yeah, totally.
That's a good book to start. Yeah. So great listener. And I love it that you meet them where they're at and you find that common language so you can speak their language, right? So you can connect with them. So the trust part is difficult, right? For this group that we get to see, because they've been through so many things, so many procedures. And a lot of them, when they come to you at that point, their hope has become pretty low, I guess, because they've had a lot of disappointments. Do you have, like, you know, we talk about like 3 months or 100 days. Do you have a philosophy or experience where do you want them to kind of do some work with you and set expectations that it's going to take this long and why?
Yeah. So I usually do tell them that it takes a couple of cycles really to see a difference and that it's a journey, that it's not this kind of one size fits all. That's Chinese medicine doesn't work like Western medicine in that way. Like Western medicine, you take a pill, it like will knock out a headache in that like less than an hour. You know, it doesn't work that way. We work on nature's timeline. So it's not, we kind of work in that confine of that and we're bound by the cycles. We have a monthly cycle and like, so we're bound by that time and we can't rush that process because that's the body's timing. It's just, you know, the concept of time has changed, I think, because of really good marketing. I think that like we're taught to look for a quick fix It's not really how the body works.
Well, you know, and to be fair, who doesn't want a quick fix, right?
This is true.
So there's, you know, no judgment. We want it just, but in reality, and I often think about like, because you use the example, like we're natural systems, right? So there's a process. It's kind of like if you have a garden and you plant in the spring and you expect a week later to be able to harvest, right? Mm-hmm. You still got to go through the season of summer and then harvest in the fall, right? And so with fertility, mm-hmm. we know there's that follicular genesis, right? And right. it's about, on average, 100 days seems to be really important, that last 100 days before an egg retrieval or an ovulation. So we want that environment to be ideal. And then I want to ask you questions that I always get asked. So I'm curious as a colleague. So I want to hear, have you found acupuncture can be supportive of the IVF process, for example?
Absolutely. First of all, we know that it brings a lot of blood flow to the pelvis and the uterus. And if you think about it too, it's like, it's going to assist the medications that are coming in for the retrievals. So the medications want to come to the ovaries and influence them. And while you're getting the blood flow. And I know that you're a big fan of Saluma. I use that as well, which is the low level laser therapy.
Oh, Saluma. I use that for the face. I have other lasers for the fertility side.
Okay.
I'm a big proponent of low level laser therapy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't use the Saluma. I'm familiar with it. We have it. But yeah. We have other laser systems that we use, like Giga Laser, BioFlex, and other systems have more power, I guess, behind it when we work on the abdomen and the sacrum.
Yeah, so it definitely helps. And it also makes the cells younger, which is, of course, what you want for your ovaries and the follicles. And so so I'll combine all of that. But it really does help a lot, not just with blood flow, but also your nervous system.
So you're using acupuncture and laser. I love that. So again, similar. Yes. So you're combining photobiomodulation, LLT, low-level laser therapy with mm-hmm. your acupuncture.
Yes.
And you're using herbal medicine too, I understand.
Yes, but not during IVF, which is not during the medication, because we know that it contraindicates. But I do a lot of supplements. And then, of course, I have like great guests on the podcast that teach me all kinds of things. I had a guy named Dr. Nayan Patel, who I don't know if you've heard of him. He does... because he's a pharmacist, he figured out glutathione, how to get it into the system, because it's very hard, as we know.
So our team uses the IV, but have they found a way to get it in orally? Because that's the hard part, because it can't.
No, it's really interesting because he talks about the IV. He said it's great, but it only lasts like 24 to 48 hours and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So what he implemented was actually through the skin. And so you take this like spray.
Right.
And you spray four a day, like two and two, you know, of this glutathione. But what he figured out to do, because he's a pharmacist and he understands the chemistry aspect of it, was that he took the glutathione and wrapped it. Have you ever seen, you know, those like pill pockets that you give dogs where you put the medicine inside the pocket?
Yeah.
But the dog's like, ooh, I like it because it's a treat.
Yeah.
Same thing. So what he does is he wrapped the glutathione with a carbohydrate, and the cell basically would take it in. And so he uses everything like on site, does not get like third party, like he does everything himself, very pure. He's been doing this. I think he's been on David Asprey's podcast too. Like he has big clients, but like he's been spending like almost 10 years on this project. So it's pretty cool.
And glutathione is such a mother antioxidant. It's such an important one.
Yeah.
So you'll do supplements and acupuncture and low-level laser therapy during IVF. And mm-hmm. and so when somebody says, how does it help? So you said it brings some blood flow. I think you were mentioning, I missed it, something about the nervous system.
Nervous system too. It also takes the edge off of, obviously, the symptoms. But then you're working also on the person overall, like whatever their imbalances are to help them. And so when you're in a state of where your nervous system comes out of fight or flight, which tends to happen a lot when people are going through the IVF, because if you think about it, your body's almost like an animal. If it's constantly getting poked and prodded, that's going to send it into a little bit more of a fight or flight. Plus the hormones are off. So your body's sensing something's not right. So it needs that nervous system reset or to come back into a more safe space. In order for growth, because that's when we start to create, when we're more at ease and in a rest and digest mode. I also do auricular.
Okay.
So I will work a lot, depending on if it's a retrieval or a transfer, on the ovaries, the endocrine, on the ear, and then the uterus, sometimes the liver, also to help with the processing of the hormones. So it is really beneficial. Of course, it's not doing the actual like medicine, but it's very supportive. And then we do, of course, the protocols for the before and after transfer. And that has been really successful, like really amazing.
Do you guys go on site or do they just come to your clinic before and after?
We do both. So depending on who's available, if I can do it or one of my acupuncturists can, we'll go in person. And it also depends on the clinic. Very few times, usually clinics are fine with it, but very few times they'll say they don't want us to be there. So what I typically do is I'll do the acupuncture ideally the day of before, and then I'll let them leave with ear seats on the points for their husbands to press.
Nice. We go on site, and so we have a good sized team, but it's a challenge for scheduling, but we make it work. So we're available 7 days a week. We've been doing it since 2002. So back in 2002, some clinics would say, we don't want you. Now in BC, pretty much they're very, very open, receptive, and you know, we work together. It's integrative. So we go on site at the Olive IVF clinic, which is close to my clinic, and do the before and after. Patients really like it because they don't have to travel. So it's great. We're aware of how important this is, this day, and how much stress they've gone through, and they find this such a treat. So far, we're still able to do that. So we're happy.
That's
about
great.
That. And then you're talking about the nervous system and you're talking a little bit of the fight or flight and then the parasympathetic rest and digest. How do you respond or what lens of Chinese medicine do you often share about how emotions are impacting the physical body? And I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about the emotions from the lens of Chinese medicine and even from the lens of Western medicine.
Well, as we know, like all our organs have certain types of emotion. They almost have personalities and spirits. And certain emotions will impact that. And I think a big thing really is the heart. I like to focus a lot on the heart. And of course, the spleen, because that's really at the center of everything. But then, you know, you have the kidneys, you have pretty much everything matters. It's like a puzzle.
Chinese system. Like we got to tell our listeners, when you say spleen, you're not thinking so much the Western spleen, but
correct.
The Chinese medicine spleen system, Chinese medicine kidney system. Because you know why? Sometimes
it's true. It's true.
You say you have spleen sheet deficiency. They go to their doctor. They go, my spleen's fine.
Yeah. No, this is true. I remember as a patient going to Dr. Lee and he'd be like, Chinese kidneys. Weak today, or the Chinese spleen, you know. So then I was like, okay, like, wait, what does that mean? And he goes, not same as Western medicine, different. And it's true. So every organ is not quite exactly the same as what Western medicine explains it. Like the kidneys, we know in Western medicine is okay, processes out, cleanses the blood and creates urine and goes through the urinary system into the bladder. That is what we know it to be. And of course, there's other things as well. But Chinese medicine, yes, it works on water, but it's also fire. It has fire and moisture. It's kind of like the yin and the yang within it. And it's also where we hold our essence and our reproductive health. So the kidneys are really, really super important for that. Now, that is a completely different way of looking at the kidneys than what we're looking at in Western medicine. But the heart, I find, is really important, especially for the fact that it really connects with the uterus. And our emotions and our stress, even though stress could be kind of under the liver, because the liver ensures the free flow of energy. And whenever we have that stagnation or that constriction, which is typically what we'll feel when we're stressed, that can impact the liver. So there's many, obviously, different pieces of the puzzle. However, even the stress can impact the heart. A lot of it comes back to the heart, and the heart plays a really important role. So the thoughts that we have, all of that can impact the heart. Now we know, because Chinese medicine's always been saying this for thousands of years, that the heart houses the mind. And also that the heart has an important role in the uterus. So now we know through things like heart math, they actually measure heart-brain coherence. And they find that the more coherent the connection between the heart and the brain, the better you feel overall. And when you're in a state where you're not in fight or flight, you're not in kind of this overly over-yang, you're more receptive, you're actually able to create, you're in a more creative state. The last thing you want to think about when you are surviving is creative. You just don't want to. Your body reflects that same energy.
Yeah. So fertility and reproduction is a creative state. And if you're in the constant fight or flight, then to use words of Dispenza really well is, you know, you mobilize your resources for survival. So they're not available as readily for healing, creativity, and reproduction. And when you feel safe and you reduce the stress, then you free up the resources for healing, creativity, and reproduction. And it's interesting. And again, kind of like the subtitle of your book, you know, Awakening Your Reproductive Potential Through the Power of Ancient Wisdom, mm-hmm. is that this has been documented in Chinese medicine for millennia. And now through modern research, they're starting to understand that the heart kind of is kind of like a brain, right?
Yeah, and they're measuring it has things. A larger electromagnetic frequency than our brain, and way larger.
And it communicates. And we know now about all the, you know, serotonin receptors in the gut. And, you know, when we talk to our patients, for those that are listening, when we ask them, you know, what they're going through and they discuss their feelings. And if we were doing some clinical hypnosis work and want to know where they feel in their body, very rarely do they say in my head, although some do think it, most mm-hmm. of them feel it in their chest area and their stomach area, right?
Yes. Yep.
And so you talked about that channel in Chinese medicine between the heart and the uterus. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's one going between the uterus and the kidney system. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chinese medicine already has the terrain or physiology to explain how stress and trauma impacts our overall health, which can impact our fertility or our fertility potential, at least. So,
yeah,
it's a beautiful medicine, right?
Yeah, it is a beautiful medicine. But, I love it.
So because of your background training, what you've shared so far, I'm curious, like, kind of how you share how or what can impact the mind? What impact can the mind have on our body then? Because we talked earlier about, you know, we like to head in the clouds, feet on the ground.
Yes.
But we live in this body. And so mm-hmm. our mental, emotional, that's happening. I'm curious, though, if you can share a little bit about how that impacts our body a little bit more.
That's a great question. And I will say, like, this is really fascinating because as we know, and I'm sure you've had this on the podcast, your gut health is so key to your fertility health. It's key to your overall health. It's very important. And then also your gut microbiome speaks to your brain speaks to it. So we have a bidirectional connection through the vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve is kind of like the go-between your brain and your enteric nervous system. Your enteric nervous system is basically the nervous system of your whole digestive system from your mouth to your butt. Sorry to, you know, but like, it's true that, you know, the whole area. So basically your vagus nerve, obviously when you do things like humming, you can actually influence your rest and digest mode. You can actually impact that by stimulating the vagus nerve. And one of the things too is auricular therapy can help that. Now to explain how that impacts, there was a study that was done, this is really fascinating, in Tibet, looking at Buddhist monks, or it was monks, basically, that meditated all day. And then they took they looked at like neighbors, people that lived around there, eating the same food, drinking the same water, doing the same things, other than meditating all day. And they looked at their microbiome. They basically studied the microbiome of both. And the microbiome of the Zen Buddhists, I think it was Zen Buddhists or Tibetan Buddhists. Forgive me if I don't have that exact.
Meditators, though.
Meditators, let's just say. So they actually looked at their microbiome versus their neighbors. And their microbiome was way more enriched and had variety. And it basically reflected a very low inflammatory state in the body, like what was linked with that. So it's really fascinating to see that. And then there was other studies that showed that certain dysbiosis reflected in mental imbalances, such as bipolar disorders, and then depression, anxiety. So it's really fascinating, but this is actually a real thing.
So if I can unpack that, your thoughts or your mental emotional state can impact your gut microbiome.
Yep.
And that's
according to these studies, that's the assumption. Yeah,
and there's been other research on this as well. And the gut microbiome is so important because if it's out of whack, it can affect hormonal health, immune mm-hmm. health. It creates inflammation, which I know you talk a lot about on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And inflammation can go to the brain and then make it worse. So
yeah.
And it's just because if you're constantly releasing those stress hormones, cortisol mm-hmm. and the adrenaline, they start to negatively impact the gut microbiome. And then it becomes a vicious cycle. So depression, mm-hmm. anxiety can come from a poor microbiome, but it could have originated from your stressful state, chronic stressful state. So that's why I guess the mind, just looking at that study then, how important your mind state, your mental state is as these meditators, because yeah. they had the same land, because where you live can affect your microbiome, what you eat. And you're right. Saying that was consistent with the two groups. What was it consistent? Was their mental state? One was having a form of mindful practice, meditation. Assuming, which we've seen in other research, but assuming then they had a more parasympathetic, calm state, alpha brainwave state more often.
Yes.
So they had a different microbiome. And do you find in your practice, because for me, I'm 25 years into practice as we're recording. I used to be very physically focused and I still address the body. I find in the hierarchy, the most important thing to shift is the mental emotional.
100%. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I think if that gets shifted, then there's so much change that will happen downstream physically and your behaviors change because the mental emotional has changed. So, you know, your behaviors are always going to be congruent over time with your thoughts and your programs and beliefs. And that's why I do the conscious fertility in my practice and the podcast is, you know, 25 years in, I do the needles, I do herbal and supplements diet. So we dress the physical because the physical supports the mental emotional. And as you said, it's bidirectional.
Yeah.
But my passion is around the conscious work and the change in the subconscious and the work of awakening. Use the words like Lisa Miller, the awakened state.
Yes. 100%. And I do actually want to mention something. You know how Joe Dispenza always talks about being in high beta where you're like, really into the material world and the details and the numbers and the, you know, you really are very focused on that and identified with that versus when you get into the quantum and you kind of go into this like delta. I mean, that's the highest, you know, where you're really out there and you're really relinquishing yourself or making a space between the identifications of who you are in reality to the possibilities of what could happen. And that's part of a lot of you look at all the meditation practices, they go into this nothingness. They release, they let go of that ego, that identification, identified state. And when people, I do want to mention this, when they go to the doctor's office, a lot of what is talked about and focused on are the high beta, the numbers, the details, all of those things versus that bird's eye view. So sometimes I see people being really emotionally and spiritually like distraught after coming from that.
Yeah. And I got to share, you said high beta, you're talking high beta brainwaves, everybody, not high beta that you want. Cause we want a high beta pregnancy.
This is true. This is true. Very good.
I know your language, but I was thinking, I bet the people listening, they're going to go, what's wrong with a high beta?
This is true.
So high beta brainwaves, like overly
coming
high
back
beta
to language.
Is more like overwhelmed. So when you know, you're feeling overwhelmed, that's high beta. Can't focus. Right. Normal beta, nice beta, you can focus, get work done. Alpha is the detached relaxation. And then you go into theta, which is, you know, super meditative state, delta sleep. And then gamma is like this altered state where you're tapping into the quantum.
Right. So there was gamma.
Yeah, gamma. Yeah. And I some of my systems I have, I can program the frequency. So I have some people come in that we do stuff around the head to in high gamma. And I have
So cool. What is that?
It's the BioFlex system. So I have two systems. I have the V-Lite system, which I use personally, and it's been used in research for some Alzheimer's disease, and other traumatic brain injuries. And then the BioFlex laser system, professional, you can change, you can adjust the power. You know, it has a max, but you can bring it down, but you can play with the frequency. So I sometimes play with the frequency. I've talked to a couple of neuroscientists that have worked with certain brain disease like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, see what they're seeing clinically and in research. So, and then just to let you know, two other things that I've been playing with in my practice. One is we have a sound table, and I've been looking for a long time for a sound table that was priced right, that I can play also with the hertz, the frequency. And they have meditations for different chakras or release. It's, you know, they play with the vibration, but there is some research based on different frequencies.
True.
Response. Patients love it. And then I have the podcast episode is on the Neurovisor. He's the founder of it. And it's a wellness device, but the intention is it can help with neuroplasticity. Time and time again, it's only like a 5-minute session with these special lights flashing and binary beats coming into the ears. It's like a reset.
That's so cool. And by the way, so I do play solfeggio frequencies in the background of my office because a frequency, and then I do a sound bowl. So I love this kind of stuff.
I heard it once, and that's why I like it, is the future of medicine is vibrational medicine. It's going to be done by sound and light And so sound is music, light, color.
Albert Einstein, right? Yeah, I think
maybe it was him. And so this is what I'm seeing. It's like, so let's talk about we're using photons in our practice, right? Form of light energy, right? In our practice, mm-hmm. low-level laser therapy. And then you're using sound, vibration, frequencies again, right? By the way, I just want to share with the listeners, nothing replaces movement, community, sleep, eating well. That is the pillar you have to do. And then you add, there's acupuncture, herb supplements, our sound tables, those toys.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
You know, patients come to me, so I'm asking you this question on behalf of them. I want to know what's going on. I want to leave no stone unturned. I want that underlying cause. What do you think is some of the missed things on a checklist when people are trying to conceive that you want to share with them that, hey, have you looked at this yet?
So sometimes it is like things like gut health. If you want to look at more physical things, they'll say, oh, you know, I was diagnosed with unexplained infertility. They don't know what's going on, but yet they're constipated and they don't go to the bathroom for a couple of days in a row. So, you know, things like that.
Been diagnosed with unexplained infertility.
Correct. The Western medicine, which is based on like the labs that they do typically, which is, you know, they do blood work. They look at the like physical, like anatomic, anything's blocking, all of those things, and they find nothing. So then they say it's unexplained. But then, you know, functional medicine doctors or us, we kind of look a little bit between the lines and a little bit beneath the surface. And you can start to see that there's more going on. They wake up at night, they don't sleep well, you know, there's other stressors. Most of the things, the most common one is stress. Like it sounds really simplistic, but like emotional.
Yeah. Stress. Well, I'm going to ask you this way then. Mm-hmm. From your lens of Chinese medicine, or if a patient came to you and said, I've been diagnosed with unexplained infertility. So they said, my sex hormones are good, FSH, estradiol, AMH for my age, I'm ovulating, my tubes are open, my uterus looks normal. If I'm with a partner, he has normal sperm. I say in quotes, normal sperm.
Yeah.
And they say I'm unexplained. And then they go on to tell you that they have constipation. They have terrible pain in their back. They get headaches once in a while. They have some mm-hmm. skin rashes. Mm-hmm. They feel freezing cold. And they have PMS and real bad pain with their periods and big clots. Would you say they have unexplained infertility?
No. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So unexplained infertility, or I'll ask you this, if somebody's labs are normal, but they have all those symptoms, is that what you consider a healthy body? Then that would be a fertile body.
No, it's a body that's definitely screaming. Listen, I see the symptoms are actually your friends. Okay. And this is one of the things that I think people are, oh my God, I hate having this. No. It's actually like it's your ally. It's telling you what you need to hear. It's making you pay attention. So when you have those symptoms, it's your body telling you something's out of whack. And sometimes it's honestly like as simple as like removing gluten. People will shift. It changed my life. A lot of people tend to be sensitive to it. And I don't know if it's like the sprays or whatever. So sometimes it's like little fixes, small things that can really make a big difference.
Okay. So on the checklist, then if somebody was coming in, you would, one of them is just looking at all these symptoms that are often overlooked, like your gut health, your bowel movements, mm-hmm. anything else on a checklist that comes to mind that.
100% relationships. Yeah. Cause that's a big one. I mean, that's a huge one. Like people can get symptoms from bad relationships and bad jobs and the stress level of work and are they able to buffer or like at least, you know, sometimes obviously we can't quit our jobs many times. Mm-hmm. So like, are there things that you're doing to counterbalance that weight? Are you coming home and doing something you like to do? You know, those are things that seem very simplistic, but they're huge.
And I guess when you say simplistic, but huge, so small events or small actions.
Walking, taking a walk after work, meditating, grounding, putting your feet on the earth. We know scientifically that lowers inflammation, you know, those things. And it helps with sleep, getting sunlight in the morning, you know, the typical connecting with nature. Like
those are good tips. I love those tips. So anything you want to add that I might have missed just kind of on this holistic journey that you're doing to let people know what's available. And then also I want to let them know where they can find your website, your Instagram, about a little bit about your coaching as well and your podcast. I want people to know so they can connect with you, more from you as well, because you got a wealth of information and really, really holistic approach, integrative approach, it sounds.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren. I really enjoyed our conversation. So the one thing that I would say is your body's really intelligent. Get into a habit of connecting with it. It's going to tell you what's going on. start paying attention. The more you pay attention, it actually can guide you. And I've seen many of my patients feel off with one doctor, choose to go to another doctor, feel connected and have a much better result. That intuition matters. You got to listen to your body, listen to yourself, because your body does speak through, you know, your emotions are really, like we said, in our bodies. And then also when we're talking about frequencies, you can do things. I'm going to be very excited to talk to you about like the different devices, but you can start humming. You know, this is what the ancients did before all of this. They used to hum, they used to chant, they used to om. Those are some of the things that you can do just to get your body more attuned and get yourself also into a parasympathetic state of nervous system. So I would say focusing on that, getting yourself in a rest and digest mode and a more safe feeling mode is incredibly important when it comes to your fertility.
All right. And Michelle, where do we find you? Because you have a coaching program that's available. And I want to know the podcast and your website. Can you just share that? And we'll put it in the show notes as well.
Of course. So MichelleOrovitz.com. Through there, you can find my clinic. There's a link to my clinic. You'll find my podcast. You'll find all of my programs, how to find me. And then you'll find my Instagram, which I'm pretty active. People DM me there. I'm always happy to get DMs. It's at the Wholesome Lotus Fertility.
Perfect. Wholesome Lotus Fertility. Also, you can go there for, to the website. And that's where I started learning about your podcast and your blogs and other things as well. It was all there. So that was really helpful. All right. Well, Michelle, we'll see each other, I'm sure, in our ABRM group. We'll connect there.
Thank you so much, Lord. This is amazing.
Hey, thank you, Michelle. It was a pleasure chatting with you today. All right. I just want to share a few resources for you that Michelle and I kind of slightly mentioned or detailed mention, just so you can follow up with that. Again, do check out her website. She's got a great podcast and blogs on her site. We talked about the nervous system, parasympathetic, sympathetic. I want to direct you to episode 45 with Stephen Porges, where he talks about the polyvagal theory and brain-body connection. He's done a lot of research on this. Also, she talked about humming in the vagus nerve. So Jonathan and Andy Goldman have been on there, and they actually take you through a humming exercise to activate your vagus nerve. And that podcast is called The Transformative Power of Sound. And that's, again, episode 51. Stephen Porges was episode 45. More of the belief and how your beliefs affect your body, The Science of Belief by Bruce Lipton's episode 54. Lisa Miller, we mentioned the awakened brain is Lisa Miller, episode 68. And then also Randine Lewis, we talked about flow and receptivity. She was one of our earlier episodes, but we did a re-release of it as episode 90. So check out episode 90 with Randine Lewis. And then if you go to the AccuBalance.ca website, there is some blogs on the Neurovisor and then the sound table I mentioned. And if you go to how we treat or what we treat, I think it's under nervous system reset or under Neurovisor and sound table, if you want to learn more about that. And again, that's on AccuBalance.ca. And please do check out Michelle's website because she's got great resources for you.
If you're looking for support to grow your family, contact AccuBalance Wellness Center. At AccuBalance, they help you reach your peak fertility potential through their integrative approach, using low-level laser therapy, fertility acupuncture, and naturopathic medicine. Download the AccuBalance Fertility Diet and Dr. Brown's video for mastering manifestation and clearing subconscious blocks. Go to AccuBalance.ca, that's A-C-U-Balance.ca.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Fertility, the show that helps you receive life on purpose. Please take a moment to subscribe to the show and join the community of women and men on their path to peak fertility and choosing to live consciously on purpose. I would love to continue this conversation with you, so please direct message me on Instagram at Lauren Brown Official. That's Instagram, Lauren Brown Official. Or you can visit my websites, laurenbrown.com and AccuBalance.ca. Until the next episode, stay curious and for a few moments, bring your awareness to your heart center and breathe.